This morning's scripture is taken from the books of Acts, chapter 11, verses 19 through 30. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Holy Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This is God's holy word.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious Lord God, as we consider this passage this morning, Lord, we pray for the presence of your Holy Spirit to open up our, not only our ears, but our mind, that as we look at leadership from a biblical perspective in the life of the church and in the life of our homes and community, Lord, may Barnabas be an example to each us all. In Christ we pray. Amen. As you look at the sermon outline in your bulletin, you'll see that there's an outline there of some of the passages that some of the verses we're going to look at. And so you may want to have that as a point of reference. But in our reading from Acts 11, we begin at that 19th verse, which says, "Now those who have been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to the Jews." Though that first phrase, "now those who have been scattered by the persecution," that is an example of the law of unintended consequences. The law of unintended consequences. An action has results that are not part of the intended outcome. Modern day example would be the aspect of the computer world. A company has mandated security mechanisms, such as strong passwords or multi-factor authentication, to protect sensitive data. However, because the new passwords are too difficult to remember, or the procedures are too cumbersome to work through, users find ways to circumvent the mechanisms, such as simply writing the passwords on a sticky note and putting the sticky note on the computer monitor, thus not making it very safe. And some of the laughter out there, I assume you have done that at home or at work. Well, leaders of the Jews and the Roman Empire, they sought to squelch the Christian faith. How did they do that to begin with? They crucified Jesus, thinking that if he was gone, his followers would disband and there would be no aspect of this faith of the followers of Jesus. But then as his disciples began their work in the early church, as Jesus had prepared them and called them to do, they saw that that faith was not being squelched at all. And so there began this time of persecution, such as how Stephen was stoned to death. And that persecution had unintended consequence, unintended outcome from that situation, because it forced the Christians to flee from that persecution and they began to spread. And here in this passage, it talks about three different places where they ended up. In Phoenicia, which was the northern aspect of Galilee, Cyprus was an island in the Mediterranean Sea, and Antioch was even further north than Phoenicia in the region of Syria. So the unintended outcome was, instead of squashing the church, Christianity spread as they moved and resettled, and they remained faithful. They remained true to the message they had heard through Jesus Christ. In those three areas, Phoenicia, a region north of Galilee, approximately 300 miles from Jerusalem, Cyprus, that island in the Mediterranean Sea, and Antioch was a coastal city, some of the disciples reached those places after a period of time, and messengers went, and they only spoke to the Jews. In another place, they began to just speak to the Greeks. I'm not exactly sure why the division is recorded here in the scripture, but in reality, we must remember that everyone, both Jew and Greek, were witness to. They heard the message of Jesus, for the people that settled there were telling the good news about the Lord Jesus. And then as you look at verse 21 in this passage, it says, "The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord." It wasn't the work of those disciples. It wasn't the work of the people that resettled. It was that the fact that the Lord's hand was with them. The Lord's hand was upon them as they shared the good news. And thus, because of God's presence, a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Word of that success reached to other areas and came back to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem sent Barnabas to Antioch as a person of encouragement, as a mentor, as a guide. Barnabas, this New Testament character that we can read about in Acts 4, 36 through 37. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So the church has met Barnabas before. He originally began with the name Joseph. He was a Levite from Cyprus, that island in the Mediterranean Sea, whom the apostles began to call Barnabas because he must have had this sense about him that he was an encouraging person. And Barnabas means son of encouragement. And he was an encouragement not just by the words he would offer, but also by his actions, where he owned this land and he sold it, and he gave that donation to the apostles in the ministry of the early church. In Acts 11, verse 24, we read a simple phrase describing Barnabas. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. A good man. When you hear that brief description, a good man, I wonder what comes to your mind. Do you think about whether you are a good man, a good woman, a good person? Do people's names come to mind that you think is good? Before we go too far about Barnabas being a good man, remember these passages. First from Romans 3:12. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. And then the words of Jesus in Luke 18:18. A certain ruler asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." But Barnabas here is described as a good man. Not perfect, but a good person. A good person. Quality traits. Honesty. Courageous. Think about how the church wanted to send Barnabas to Antioch, and he went. He was courageous to go and serve. Compassionate. You need compassion in order to be an encourager. He was generous. We read about that in Acts 4. Respectful, and he was humble. respectful and humble in knowing what he could do and also recognizing where he needed help. And so we read how he went down to Tarsus to find Saul, and Saul and Barnabas then taught in Antioch for a year. A good man, a good person, willing obedience. And he encouraged others. So he was a good man, and he was a man full of the Holy Spirit and faith. That is important. That is critical. Guided by the Spirit. Learned of the situation, he responded, and he encouraged them. Guided by the Spirit. It's not about what we want to do, but it's being open to what the Spirit of the Lord is equipping us to do, setting before us, challenging us to do. For all of those students that started, and teachers and staff that started last week and this week and next week and the week after, back to school, I get to go to school tomorrow, and I'm excited. I have to be there at 8 o'clock, even though school doesn't start until Wednesday. I've been invited by the superintendent to be at the staff breakfast to offer prayer for the year. A sense of encouragement. Now, I really don't want to go to school, but guided by the Spirit, I respond. We respond. A man full of the Holy Spirit and faith, recognizing Barnabas, he recognized that he needed assistance, he needed help, and so he went and got his co-worker, his good friend, Saul, and brought him up. And they spent a year teaching together and encouraging the people. The teaching is important, but it's also the encouraging to live that out. A good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. He was a good co-worker and supporter of others. He was generous, enabled God's grace to be active amongst the people. He bridged the gap between the Jewish and the Greek worlds. And he was seen as someone who stayed in the background, who didn't have to be out front. But he could be behind the scenes and there to encourage the people. That's Barnabas, a good man full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And if you look at the sermon outline, there's an aspect in there about application. We've been looking at Paul and Nehemiah and now Barnabas from the aspect of leadership, biblical leadership, and what does that mean in our daily lives, both in the life of the church and in the community and in our homes. I doubt it's new to anyone here that many people decry the current state of our nation, the reality of people turning from God, violence and hatred are abounding, disunity is real, there's a focus on me as being prevalent, and there is a loss of freedom that is occurring. And we can think about how bad it is. And yet, as we look back at the times of the early church, persecution was rampant. People were being persecuted because they were believing in Jesus. There was hatred toward the followers of Christ. And that hatred and that persecution was widespread. I feel pretty safe in the world and in the home and in the community in which I live. So even though today's nation may be in somewhat of an uproar, we also have the safety of our faith in Jesus Christ. In the call of back then, in the call of today, is for Christian servants, for Christian leaders, empowered by God, who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, that in our belief we are to go out and preach and we are to encourage. Preach and encourage. Preach and teach and talk. And that gives us the challenge for us to consider. Barnabas is an example of faithfulness, and he challenges us in our daily lives to be faithful. Not 1 out of 7, not 1 month out of the year, not on certain holy days, but faithful always and forever. The challenge is to remain true. Luke writes that in this book, to remain true. I have been thinking about something for several hours now. I was at a funeral of a dear friend yesterday in the eastern part of Ohio. And as Lynn and I arrived in the parking lot of that church, there were obviously some homeless people camped out on the sidewalk. And as the funeral finished and there was a time of fellowship, it was an enjoyable experience to not only meet the rest of the family of the person that had died and entered eternal life, but also to reconnect with many of my camp friends that some I haven't seen in 42 years. That seems strange to say how long it's been. And there was a young man, he was young when I first met him, a man about my age that is now a retired pastor, and his last name is Werwill. He was born in New Knoxville. He is family related to Nathan Werwill, the pastor here at St. John's in the 50s and 60s, and we talked, and he was sharing that he is part of a new team in the city there, that they are coming together to help the homeless. He also shared that there are people at this church that no longer go to that church because of the homeless. They didn't like seeing them on the sidewalk. They didn't like the homeless camping in the entrance on the backside of the church. And so there are people that left because they didn't want to deal with that. And that has just been revolving in my mind as we drove home and as I awoke this morning, to remain true to the faith, is we can't see people as an inconvenience, as somebody we don't want to deal with. But in reality, in faithfulness, in remaining true, we see anybody and everybody as someone who needs encouragement, and encouragement in the faith. I wish I lived a little closer and I could be part of that team. Because St. John's and Back Bay Mission and Toledo Gospel Rescue Mission and Cherry Street and Sparrow's Nest, the Friendship House, we recognize that need of offering words of faith and encouragement to people. So the challenge is to be faithful, to remain true, to offer encouragement, and to be open to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will guide us to those situations where we can offer faith and encouragement. And it's also the aspect of when you are asked, or when you have been prompted by somebody else, or prompted by the action of the Holy Spirit, when you are asked to do something, when you are asked to respond, when you are asked to serve, do you say a quick no? Do you offer a thoughtful no? I hope in the aspect of Barnabas, you will consider offering a willing yes to step out in faith and respond to the work of the Spirit. Praise be to God. Amen.
And at this time, I'll invite the ushers forward to collect our morning tithes and offerings. Gracious Heavenly Father, take these gifts that we return to you. Use them as you see fit to further your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is not something people will be able to see and point to. The kingdom of God is within you." Please join us in our closing hymn, "Build Your Kingdom Here." And following the spoken benediction, we will sing the chorus of "Build Your Kingdom Here" as our benediction and song.
Has comforted you in your trouble. Now we go and comfort the world with the grace, encouragement, and comfort we have received from our God. Go in Christ's name. Amen.